Amen. You may be seated. Psalm 130 is known as a song of degrees. You can probably see that there in your Bible, the title of the psalm there before verse 1. Believe it or not, the vast majority of those titles that you see are actually a part of the inspired text. And so if you had a Hebrew Bible, that song of degrees would in essence be verse number 1, and what we call verse 1 would be verse number 2. But a song of degree, what is that? Well, it is one of the in total 15 psalms, which is Psalm 120 through Psalm 134, that make up the psalms that were sung by the children of Israel as they made pilgrimages every year to the city of Jerusalem. Some of you may remember from the Old Testament law that there were three feasts in particular that all the males, and some that everybody, had to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate each and every year. And these were long treks by foot. They weren't putting it on cruise control and cruising up I-75 at 70 miles per hour plus or minus grace. Amen? And they weren't doing that. They were making the trek one step at a time. To give you a little bit of a illustration, you'll remember Jesus and his family traveling from Nazareth there to the temple when Jesus was a young boy. The trip that Jesus and his family would have taken would have been about a now, that's a long time, amen? That's a long time to be making a trek on foot. And that is an awful long time. And so in order to pass the time, what they would do is they would sing some of these psalms as they traveled along the way. I suppose singing is better than somebody asking, "Are we there yet?" all the time. So these pilgrimages, these feasts, were times of national celebration and times of national renewal. And we all need these, don't we? Times to be renewed in our spirit. Times to celebrate the things that God is and that God has done. But is that we have these songs of degrees. And we find as we look through them that they deal with the substance of life. They learn about the journey of life while you are on a journey to Jerusalem. And you'll find as you read through Psalm 120 through Psalm 134 that these really are real songs for real life. You know, because sometimes the journey can be tough, amen? Sometimes the road can feel very long and very lonely. Sometimes God can even feel far away. And I know that's not something that you expect to hear from the pulpit on a Sunday morning, but sometimes God can feel far away. What do we do with that? How do we make it through those seasons? Well, Psalm 130 is a psalm for that. And so let's look at this morning and draw some application, draw some encouragement for what we can do when God feels far away. I'm also going to join Team Handheld Mike just for the sake of not having any more trouble with my mic for the rest of the time. There we go. How about it? Let's look together at verses 1 through 3 as we get started this morning. There the Bible says, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If the Lord shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?" Would you notice as we begin to unpack the psalm this morning, would you notice first of all the cry from the depths? The cry from the depths. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Now, it's helpful to know what the depths are. This is not a pit. The depths are a picture of the sea.
And the sea represents trouble and instability. The sea represents that which in life will beat you back and forth, will take you to and fro. The depths, then, if you will, are a picture of someone who is drowning in despair of life. It is a picture of someone who is sinking and can't get out. It's a pretty common picture throughout the Psalms. We see the psalmist voice similar thoughts. Psalm 18, beginning in verse number 4. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, and the snares of death prevented me. Psalm 69, verses 1 and 2. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in a deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. You ever felt like life just overflowed you? Did you ever feel like you went from swimming to treading to just struggling to keep your head above the water? You ever been there? You know, there's a lot of things in this life that'll beat us down. A lot of situations and a lot of struggles that are beyond our control. Perhaps as a health situation, perhaps as a financial situation, a career situation, perhaps it's a family situation. You know, there are situations and struggles that we face in this life that will beat us down. And one morning we wake up, one evening we recognize that we are sinking into the depths and struggling to stay afloat. You know, sometimes it's situations and struggles that are beyond our capacity to change. But let's be honest, sometimes it's our own stupidity. Sometimes it is our own stupidity that puts us in positions where we feel like we are drowning. Sometimes worse than even our own stupidity is our own sin. You know, the psalmist, probably David, recognizes that in verse number 3. O Lord, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? A lot of things in this life that'll beat you down. A lot of things in this life that'll bat you to and fro, that'll make you feel like there's no solid footing, that there's no standing. And what we find here, especially in the first several verses, is a psalm of brokenness and a psalm of misery of heart. And I'm going to tell you, church, when we get to the place where we are truly struggling in the depths, when we get to the place where we are bound in our sin, verse number 3, or some other situation that has overwhelmed us, when we get here, God almost always feels far away. I love here that the depths are not defined. You know, David's life ran the gamut of problems, didn't it? You know, that's one of the things we can appreciate about David. Is David made mistakes just like you and I do. David faced problems. He faced struggles just like you and I do. David began his life, when we first see David, he was overlooked and unappreciated. But then when he was noticed, he spent the next several years of his life being hunted like a dog. David suffered family trouble. David faced war. David faced heartbreak. His one son committed a rape of his half-sister, and his other son then committed murder. That son, Absalom, then sought to steal the kingdom from his own father. You know, David went through some depths in his life. David had some points in his life in which his sin, in which his struggles, in which his situations washed over him in such a way that I'm sure he felt as though he would drown. But I love what we see in this psalm, Psalm 130, that though the depths are not defined, his desperation is directed. Because what we don't find is, out of the depths have I cried unto my friend. It's good to have a friend, amen? I mean, if you have a friend, you are a blessed person. If you have somebody that you can go and you can talk to and you can share your heart with, you are a blessed person. We live in a day and age where not a lot of people understand what it means to truly be friends anymore. They think it means some sort of electronic connection, but that's not what true friendship is. You're a blessed person if you got a friend, but David didn't say, out of the depths have I cried unto my friend. Nor did David say, out of my depths have I cried unto my family. Nor did David say, out of the depths have I cried unto my social media feed. Nor did David say, out of the depths have I cried unto myself. Nobody knows, sweet psalmist of Israel, the trouble I've seen plucking on the harp. That's not what David did. Though the depths are not defined, hear me, church, his desperation is directed. Do you see what David did? He said, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. David cried unto the Lord. I want to say, some of us this morning who feel overwhelmed, and some of us this morning who don't know what piece of solid ground we possibly have to put our foot down next on, some of us who feel like we're struggling and we're flailing and we just want to take that next breath, here's what we got to do. We've got to stop struggling in our own strength. We've got to stop hiding it and burying it. By the way, we do that too as Christians, the old fake it till you make it. You're dying inside, and yet you show up on Sunday morning, brother, how are you? Blessed and highly favored. But on the inside, you're dying. And we've got this fake it till you make it Christianity. Now, don't be Eeyore either, okay? Balance. But it doesn't mean we keep struggling in our own strength. It doesn't mean we need to hide it and bury it, a fake it till you make it approach. We need to stop rationalizing it. We need to stop deflecting it. It's not about crying out to our friends or to our family or to our social media feed. It is about crying out in desperation to the Lord. Do you see the passion? He says, I have cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. He cried, Lord, hear. His desperation was directed as a deer pants for the water. So David's soul longed after God, as one whose heart hungers and thirsts after righteousness, as a child who will flee to his father or his mother. And I love this. David recognized he didn't have to find a way to come to God. You know, sometimes when you're struggling in the depths, you know there's no way you can get to God. David didn't have to find a way to come to God. David simply had to cry out to God. The cry from the depths. You know, there are some this morning who are struggling, who are overwhelmed, who are going through situations and struggles. Even others who are burdened down by their own sin and shame. What do you do when God feels far away? Very simply, direct your desperation. Cry out to God. Cry out to God. I want you to see what else David teaches us in this passage. We'll pick back up in verse number 3 again. It says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. What do you do when God feels far away? Number one, you cry out from the depths. Number two, you find comfort in dependence. You find comfort in dependence. You see, the psalmist doesn't just cry out to the Lord. If you look at the text, what he does is he humbles himself before him. He humbles himself in complete dependence on God. Verse number 3, O Lord, if the Lord marked iniquities, who shall stand? The answer is no one. If God marked, noted, kept record of my sin, there is no way that I could stand in his presence. David recognized, you know what? I am not enough. I am not pure enough. I am not strong enough. I am not smart enough. I am not fast enough. I am not skilled enough. I am not enough, but God is. But God is. But God is. And so David humbles himself in complete dependence on God. And I'm going to tell you, that's a hard thing to do. To come to the place where you truly, completely depend on God. God's got to be more than a plan B. Brother Lee said it earlier, he's got to be more than a spare tire. Something you know is in the back in case of emergency. You know what, God, I got this. And we're on the journey, but God, I know if something happens, well, God, I know I got you in the case of emergency. God's got to be more than your spare tire. God's also got to be more than your wheelbarrow. Just a tool that you bring out when the load gets a little awkward or heavy. He's got to be more than that. Your plan B, your spare tire, your wheelbarrow. You have got to come to the place where you completely depend on God. Radical, complete dependence. And when we come to the place where we can completely depend on God, you know what we find? Even out of the depths, we find comfort. Why? Because we have an assurance of God's grace. Did you notice verse number 4? David says, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. You know, none of us are worthy to stand before a holy God. I was watching a news clip of a national news show, and they were talking to somebody from a church and talking to a pastor, and they said the comment, but you mean you tell people in your church that they're sinners? The look of shock on their face. I thought, yes, I do. Because we all are. You see, the measure of righteousness is not you and I. It's not looking around and making sure that we're better off than half of the people around here. No, I'm not looking at George Jenkinson or Bill Brown. Bill Brown, I'd probably be all right. But I'm not looking at them. I'm not looking at Barry Halstead to see where I measure up. That's not the bar, church. The bar is an almighty, holy God who is righteous, thrice holy. And I don't match up to that bar. None of us are worthy to stand before a holy God. But here's the glorious truth. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Here's the good news this morning. There is forgiveness with God. There is forgiveness with God. And where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And God's grace is available to meet every person for every need. God's grace is sufficient. And there are some people here, and you know in your heart, you have been a long way from God for a long time. You know that you have harbored that lust. You have harbored that bitterness. That you have allowed yourself to speak crude and crass language. To talk about other people behind their back. That you have told God no when he has spoken to you. You have been away from God. And there are some people, the devil has convinced you that this is all that is left for you. I got good news this morning. No matter who you are. No matter what you've done, no matter what's in your past, no matter what presently stains your life, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. Because there is forgiveness with him. There is forgiveness with him. There is forgiveness with him. And I'm going to tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all our sin. God's grace is available to every person for every need. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Some of you, you know God is far away because your sin has separated you from God. But he doesn't have to be one moment longer. He doesn't have to be. Because if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is forgiveness with him. And I'm going to tell you, you want some comfort? You want some comfort in the depths? You want to know? You want to know that the things are all right, even when things seem out of control? I'm going to tell you, there is no greater comfort than being able to pillow your head at night and know that things are right between you and God. There is forgiveness with thee. And we find complete radical dependence. We find comfort because we find the assurance of God's grace. But because we also find the anticipation of God's goodness. You look at verse 5, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait in his word. Verse 6, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. We see an anticipation of God's goodness. And here the psalmist recognizes that there is nothing else left to do but wait on the Lord. There is nothing else left to do but wait on the Lord. Psalm 27 and verse 14 puts it this way, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know what? Sometimes it does take some courage just to wait on God. That's hard, especially for somebody like me, because God is never in a hurry. God's never, you think about the Lord Jesus Christ. He walked this earth for 33 and a half years, and his ministry was really just the last 3.5 years of his life. And you think about what he accomplished in his earthly ministry, and the one thing you never saw Jesus do was run. He's never in a hurry. I think, man, Brother Frank, you reminded me, I've been at this thing for 5 now. If I get credit for time served with youth pastor, a bit longer. I feel like I'm always in a hurry. But the Lord Jesus Christ, for everything he had to accomplish while he was on this earth, was never in a hurry. And sometimes we have to recognize that there is nothing else left to do but wait on the Lord. And so we wait in anticipation because his presence is peace. Because his word, as the psalmist says, doesn't fade, it doesn't fail, it doesn't fray. We can count on God's word. And some things, church, some things we just have to decide. Some things are worth the wait. We were on vacation a couple weeks ago out in the Smoky Mountains. And we did one of them things where we went up and they had this whole city or town or tourist trap built on top of one of the mountains. And they advertised it, the only monorail coaster in all of these here United States. They say it just like that in the Smoky Mountains. I said, I'm going to ride that thing. 2 of my kids agreed. Paid my money. Waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited in the hot Tennessee sun. And when we finally made it up there, I was ready to go. Took 2 minutes and left me with a sore neck and back for 2 days. Won't worth the wait. However, a different night, we went to a Brazilian steakhouse. Took Christopher with us. His first outing with the men. He out-ate one of my brothers. Told him I was real proud of him. It's a rite of passage. When they come and they ask, would you like? The answer is yes, and I would like 2, please. Every time. If you don't have the meat sweats, you haven't started. Just keep going. Worth the wait. You know, some things in this life and some things in this world are just worth the wait. He's worth the wait. You know what? You can flail and you can fight and you can struggle and you can swim and you can plan and you can scheme and you can do all of these things to try to figure it out. But at the end of the day, some of us just have to decide that God is worth the wait. And so when we've done all that we know to do according to His word and His will and the leading of His Spirit, we give ourselves to wait on Him. Because when He shows up, He never disappoints. Isaiah 26, beginning in verse number 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." So what do we do when God feels far away? Because sometimes He feels far away. We cry out from the depths. We cry out from the depths. Give some direction to your desperation this morning. Give some direction. Cry unto the Lord. We cry out from the depths. We find comfort, independence. And we rest in Jesus. But I want you to see one more thing. I want you to see how the psalmist concludes this psalm today. Verse number 7 and 8. He switches, you'll notice, from verse number 6, "My soul waiteth for the Lord." He switches in verse number 6 about talking about himself, and he switches to talking to you and I, to talking to the nation of Israel, to talking to the people of God who would read God's word, and he gives us here a challenge. He says, "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." What do we do when God seems far away? Number one, we cry out from the depths. Number two, we find comfort, independence. But number three, we've got to answer the call for decision. We've got to answer the call for decision. The psalmist here challenges Hear the nation of Israel. "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. With him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." In other words, this decision that we're called to make, it can't be based on feeling. You see, what am I feeling? You go back to verse number 1, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee." You see, when I'm in the depths, I'm not feeling real good. When I'm in the depths, I'm typically pretty discouraged. When I'm in the depths, I'm typically pretty ready to call it quits. When I'm in the depths, I don't have a great perspective on what God is doing or how God is working or even where God is for that matter. When I'm in the depths, it don't feel real good. And if I'm making decisions based on my feeling, I'm in trouble. And so the psalmist here, after he calls us to cry out from the depths and he reminds us to find comfort and dependence, he calls us to that decision that we can't make this decision based on feeling. We can't make the decision based on the feeling that God feels far away. We've got to make the decision based on facts. What are those facts? Do you notice in verse number 7 how he highlights the person of God, the character of God? "With the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption." You see, when everything around me is overwhelming, when everything around me seems to be changing, when everything around me seems to be uncertain, what do? I go back to those things that never change. And I think the best place to start is with the person of God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. There is mercy with our God. There is redemption with our God. There is no one like our God. And you know what that means? That means even when I'm in the depths, and even when I don't understand, and even when I feel like I've fallen short, that I can keep going because there is mercy with our God. Because there is plenteous redemption with our God. I can keep going. I can keep giving. I can keep serving. I can keep investing in my home and investing in my marriage. And if you're single this morning, waiting and investing in yourself for when God brings that right one your way. Because God doesn't change. Because God doesn't change. His mercy doesn't change, and His grace doesn't change, and His power doesn't change, and His promises don't change, and His presence doesn't change, and His word doesn't fail. I can take that next step. I can get back up. Some of you have been down for too long. You've been down for too long. I can get back up. I can get right. I can. Because He is. I'm going to tell you, there's mercy with God. The devil wants you destroyed by your guilt, but God wants you restored by His grace. A call for decision. A decision based on the facts of God's person. A decision based on the facts of God's plan. Verse number 8, and He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. The facts of God's plan. In other words, simply put, God will do what He said He will do. Period. God will do what He has said. Do things look dark? Sometimes. Do you feel lost in the depths? Sometimes. Do you feel like God is far away? Sometimes. But I know by faith that God is not done. And that all that He has said He will do, He will do. You know, it takes faith to live like that in the present when you don't feel it. It takes faith to live like that in the present. You know, we sometimes sing the chorus, "Something Beautiful." Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. You know, we sing it, but sometimes I don't see much beautiful in my life. And I don't see much beautiful in what God is doing around me. I don't see it. I don't feel it. But at the end of the day, the psalmist calls us to decision. Because even if I don't feel it in the moment, let me ask you, hadn't God earned the benefit of the doubt from us? Hadn't God proven Himself to the place where we could say every once in a while, God, I don't feel it, but I don't need to. Because I know You're still on the throne, and I know You're still working, and I know that Your plans are good. And I know that You'll see me through. And so what do, when God feels far away, what do? You make the decision. You make the decision. No matter how I feel inside, I am going to trust the facts about His person, and I am going to trust the facts about His plan, and I am going to surrender my feelings to the facts that I know don't change. And I'm going to make that decision because I know by faith that the best is yet to come. Psalm 130 is a song for the journey. But church, sometimes on the journey you find yourself in the depths and God feels far away. I remember when I was growing up, as a kid, I loved to swim. Still a pretty popular thing these days, I think. And we had some family friends that had an in-ground pool, and it had one of those scenarios where about halfway through the pool, it transitioned underwater. From the shallow end to the deep end where the diving board was. Now, you need to understand that I grew up in the time where we didn't believe in floaties. Didn't believe in them. We believed in seatbelts by the time I was around, but not floaties, all right? Not like today when the kids are bubble wrapped anytime they exit the bed, basically. So I can remember swimming there at the family friend's house. I can remember we had eaten, and I had set out my obligatory 15 minutes because that was a thing. Learned later on. Okay, thanks, Mom and Dad. But set out my obligatory 15 minutes, and I was back in the pool. And I was loving life. And I remember just as I made my way through the pool, I can remember my foot hitting that spot where we went from shallow to deep. And I can remember being there in the middle of the pool trying to get my head above water. I can remember flailing my arms. I can remember kind of gargling and gasping and really just taken off guard. I was very much in a panic. Because I was flailing in the deep end, you know what? I couldn't see the edge. I couldn't find the edge. I couldn't feel the edge. Because I was flailing in the deep end, I had no idea where anybody was. But my daddy knew exactly where I was. You see, when I was flailing in the deep, I couldn't see him. He felt a million miles away. But he wasn't. And though I could not see him in my distress, guess what? He could see me. And he was there to lift me out. This morning, let me ask you, does God feel far away? He's not. He's not. Oh, you might not be able to sense him because, let's be honest, you're overwhelmed in the depths, and there are some situations and some struggles, and there are some issues in your life and even some sins, and you are overwhelmed in the depths. And God feels a million miles away, but the good news is this morning, he's not. He is but one prayer away. This morning, would you cry out from the depths? Would you find some comfort and dependence? And just make that decision that I'm going to take this next step, not based on my feelings, but on the fact that I know who my God is and I know what he's planned for me. When God feels far away. Standing together this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed. Well, this morning, God's doing a work. And if God's spoken to you this morning, don't wait. Come, come. Even now, let's do business with God. Let's do business with God. He might feel far away, but he's not. He's not. Cry out this morning. Cry out to him. Father, we love you.